Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And I hope that you were having a good Friday. Grant Napier on Listen App. And obviously, we start with the big news, and it happened last night on the field in Cincinnati as the Bengals won against the Miami Dolphins. And, of course, the big story was the hit that Tua suffered in the second quarter. He was carted off the field. He is currently in concussion protocol. He did get out of the hospital. He did accompany the team home on their flight. So Mike McDaniel went through the press conference last night. He said that his availability for the game on Thursday was approved by a layer of medical people, all right, including an independent neurologist who examined Tua after the Buffalo Bills game when he hit the back of his head, all right, and stumbled for a little bit before taking being taken into the locker room. The NFLPA was not happy, to say the least. They asked for a review by the National Football League, and we'll see what happens now. We'll see what happens now, all right? But the Dolphins said that their protocols were followed to a T. McDaniel said, I have 100% conviction in our process regarding our players. This is a player-friendly organization. I make it very clear from the onset, is here for the players. I take that very seriously. No one in the building strays from that. If there would have been anything lingering with his head, I wouldn't have been able to live with myself if I prematurely put someone out there and put them in harm's way. This is a relationship that I have with this human being. I take that serious. I wouldn't have put him out there if there was any inclination given to me whatsoever that he was endangering himself from that previous game. All right? There we go. That was last night. All right. So my take on this is I thought social media was unbelievably irresponsible last night. I thought it was awful. And I thought it was a sad commentary. I think it was a microcosm of where our society is. Everyone wants to be judge and jury. Everybody, you know, thinks that they know everything that's going on when they know very little about what's going on. Okay. They see a player get injured in a game on Sunday, myself was included. I did a rant on this that I did not think it looked like a back injury to me. But I also didn't say that he had a concussion. I just said the optics were not good there. Okay? And then he goes out on Thursday, does suffer a concussion, and everybody is coming to the conclusion that he's had two concussions in 4 days and that the doctors of the Dolphins should be fired and the trainer should be fired and the coaching staff should be fired. I mean, it's stupid. It's ridiculous. It's a complete overreaction. Okay? Let the NFLPA and the NFL do a complete review of what happened with Tua at the game on Sunday, and let's see what they have to say. All right? Let's see what they have to say. Again, on Sunday, they said that there were, he said that he did not suffer a concussion on Sunday against the Bills. Now, according to the NFPA, what everyone saw, quote, what everyone saw both Sunday and last night were no-go symptoms within our concussion protocols. The protocols exist to protect the player, and that why is we initiated an investigation. All right? So we'll see what happens. Do I think that the Miami Dolphins endangered to his career by putting him on the field on Thursday? No, I don't. Do I believe Josh McDaniels? Yes, I do believe him. Or excuse me, do I believe Mike McDaniel? Yes, I do. All right? There we go. McDaniels said this today. I had no worries whatsoever. I'm in steady communication with this guy day in, day out. We're talking about high-level football conversations about progressions and defenses and recalling stuff from 2 weeks previous, and then him having to reiterate a 15-word play call. All things. Absolutely no signs. There was no medical indication from all resources that there was anything regarding the head. Beyond an eyeball test, which I know for a fact you guys would not be very comfortable if I was just relying on it. I mean, it's the reason why we have tests. He did not have a head injury. So guys hit their heads all the time. And that's why I was adamant he was evaluated for having a head injury, and he did not have one. And when I tell you he was in complete mental concert, talking to us through it, and then he played the whole game, and then he did a press conference, and then did full media all week. If I were to sit someone for a medical issue going against medical people abstractly, then why do I play him again? Yeah, it makes perfect sense to me. That makes perfect sense to me, all right? Now, Tua went and had an MRI today, and the team said he's in concussion protocol. And he said, quote, I have literally have no timetable or even thought about it regarding his return. That's where I would feel irresponsible is even thinking about it. I want him to get all the evaluations possible. I want him to do all the things recommended from all of the medical counterparts. And I want him to get on the road to recovery from that as a human being, and then we'll cross that bridge. But in terms of a timetable of crossing that bridge, I have zero idea. So there you have it. But again, you know, if you talk about social media and everything else, everyone has their answers. Everyone knows all the facts. Everyone jumps to conclusions. All right. It was a joke. Social media was embarrassing last night. It was embarrassing last night. And again, I think it's a microcosm of how effed up our society is. All right. Everyone wants to be judge and jury. Everyone wants to convict. Everyone wants to cancel. It's a joke. It's an absolute joke. It really is a joke. All right. If you want to get in on the program, hit your hand icon and we'll do it. Monday, 3 o'clock Pacific, YouTube Live. Circle that on your calendar Monday at 3 o'clock Pacific. All right, let's get to some phone calls. We get the show rolling here on a Friday. We also will take your football picks today. Antonio, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Grant. Hey, you know, to speak the obvious, we know this is a violent sport. I had a chance to talk to a former Raider back in the day, George Beeler. He kind of related to like the Roman theater of the gladiators fighting the lion. The lion's trying to kill you, and it's a brutal sport. Last night was something I go back to Turkey Jones slamming Terry Bradshaw. If you have any young kids out there, YouTube that Turkey Jones slamming Terry Bradshaw. I think Terry might have went into convulsions, but to see that last night and then see everybody on social media, like you said, Grant, at first it was hard to watch, but then to see all the iPhone, the, you know, the keyboard doctors come out and people think they know all this stuff. I turned it off, man. I just turned it off. I watched the game, but it's a brutal sport. I mean, I've been watching it for darn near 50 years, so nothing surprises me, no, Grant. And God forbid, and don't ever want to see this happen, God forbid someone actually dies on the field. I mean, the way they are, this sport, you got the biggest, you guys, guys bench pressing 550 pounds, running 4.3 40s and guys that are 320 pound running in. It's a car accident out there, and that guy just flung down onto him, and it was hard to watch, Grant. I can't lie about that. It was tough to see that guy his body, his hands were. It was really hard to watch.
Yeah, it is hard to watch. The reality is it's a violent game. You know, it's a violent game, as you pointed out. It's also that was commonplace 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40 years ago. And those players, you know, would have come back and played in the second half. I mean, that's the reality of the situation. We now have more medical technology. We have more science. We have more data. We now understand about head injuries. And so there's a lot more caution. But the era that you're referring to, you know, I mean, that was commonplace in the NFL, and it happened all the time. And if we think the game is violent now, the game's not anywhere near as violent as you used to be. Now, the point you made is spot on. Players are bigger, they're stronger, they're faster, and so your collisions are more high impact. But in terms of the violence of the game was much, much more violent in the 60s, in the 70s, in the 80s. It's not even close. It was much more violent. Go watch how, you know, John Lynch used to play. Go look at how Ronnie Lott used to play. Then go back in the 60s and go watch how, there were so many, Larry Wilson, how he played with the Arizona Cardinals, and go on and on. That's just the way the game was played. We get that. Go ask Fred Biletnikoff what it was like running across the middle. You know, go ask George Atkinson and Jack Tatum. Well, you can't ask Jack, unfortunately, because he's not with us anymore. But go and, you know, look at some of their quotes from when they played. And how they used to hit wide receivers running across the field. If you think the game is violent now, for those that are the younger generation, go watch video of the way the game used to be played.
Yeah, watch Super Bowl 13. I think it was Cowboys and the Steelers, and both of those quarterbacks took a beating. But what a tough thing. I'll give you my picks, but I know everybody wants to get on. So I'm taking the Cowboys over Washington. I just feel like the Ravens are going to get the Bills. I'm just going to go for that. I'm going out on a limb on that. I like the Jaguars with the points. Maybe they might be the surprise team of the AFC. And I think we all said a couple of days ago, I think the AFC West might have been a little overrated. It's still early. And, of course, I can never get away. And I'll be there at Allegiant Stadium the first time I get to go to the new stadium. I've been to the LA Coliseum when he was, LA Coliseum, and I've been to Oakland, Alameda Coliseum. Man, I'm taking the Raiders over the Broncos in a classic matchup that I've been watching for my whole lifetime, like you used to watch your Cowboys and Giants play for, you know. So I'm excited, Grant, and I'm looking forward. I'll be subscribing to your show on Monday, man, and thanks for all your hard work, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a great time at the game Sunday, buddy. Enjoy that experience. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye. All right. Let's go along and get to Al. Al will join us right here on Listen Up. Good afternoon, Al.
Hey, Nick. I was just calling to make my picks, but I just wanted to, like, comment on this Tua thing. Let me ask you. When he got hurt against Buffalo, I think if I'm understanding, someone was saying he should have gone to the locker room.
He did go to the locker room. No, according to the NFL protocol, if a player exhibits the symptoms that Tua exhibited, he would be considered a no-go, meaning that regardless of what diagnosis was, regardless of the diagnosis, he would not return to that game. That's what the NFLPA is stating. They're stating based on the visual symptoms after the hit where he landed on his head, that the symptoms that he exhibited fall into the protocol of no-go. No-go means that you're out for the rest of that game. That's what the NFLPA is contending.
I got you. And, man, it looked to me, he was scoofed, man. He was staggering. I mean, I'm not a doctor, I guess, but that's not a – you've said this already. That's not a back injury. Come on, man.
Are you there? Because I wasn't there in the locker room, and I'm not an independent neurologist, and I'm not any of those things, okay? An independent neurologist said he didn't have a concussion, said he had no symptoms of a concussion at all. So, I can't explain it. I'm not in the medical profession, but the fact is that every single medical person cleared him of any concussion symptoms and head injury after that game on Sunday and during the game and subsequently during the week. And that's why he played last night.
Did anybody interview him after during the week and after the game?
He did an entire post-game press conference after the game. He did his media availability during the week. Yes, he did all of his media obligations. And again, he did a full media session after the game on Sunday.
Okay. Well, here's my picks. Okay, I'm going to go with the Cardinals against the Panthers. I'm going to take the Cowboys. I like the Steelers. And I'll take the Vikes in London. So have a good day, man. We'll listen to you on Monday morning on YouTube. Take care.
Hey, Al, thank you very much. Really appreciate that. Bye-bye.
Hey, folks, let's face it. After a night with drinks, I don't bounce back the next day like I used to. I've got to make a choice. I can either have a great night or a great next day. That is until I found ZBiotics. ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink is the world's first genetically engineered probiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut. It's this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for your rough next day. ZBiotics produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down. Just remember to make ZBiotics your first drink of the night. Drink responsibly, and you'll feel your best tomorrow. And hey, I'm not going to lie, I'll be honest with you. I was a little on the fence about ZBiotics initially, but then just recently, I was at my buddy's 60th birthday party. They had rented out a restaurant for the entire night, so I gave it a shot. Let me tell you something. It's the real deal. Vacations, weddings, birthdays, reunions. Hey, there's a lot going on. Get the most out of your spring plans by stocking up on pre-alcohol now. Go to ZBiotics.com/Grant to get 15% off your first order when you use Grant at checkout. ZBiotics is backed with 100% money-back guarantee. So, hey, if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money. No questions asked. Remember, head to ZBiotics.com/Grant. Use the code GRANT at checkout for 15% off. Thank you, ZBiotics, for sponsoring this episode and our good times.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right. And by the way, that's Monday, not morning. That is Monday at 3:00 in the afternoon, Pacific time. Thank you, Al. If you want to get in on the program with your picks, all you got to do is hit your hand icon, raise your hand, and we will do it. The problem with the Tua is the visual aspect of all of this, okay? What our eyes told us is not what the diagnosis was. So our eyes told us, oh my gosh, he's got a head injury, but the medical test did not in any way come up to that conclusion. So our eyes are like, oh boy, Tua just got dinged. He's got to come out of the game. He's seeing stars. He has a concussion. And then we see him start the third quarter after the Dolphins put out a release that he had a head injury. Now, I can only speculate on this, okay, that the Dolphins were watching the same thing that you and I were watching. And so without even speaking to the doctors, they came to the conclusion that he had a head injury. So they put out the statement to the media. That's the only thing I can think of, right? That's how obvious it was to the fan base and everyone watching the game. He hit the back of his head. He got wobbly, dazed. We come to the conclusion he's not going to play. Even Dr. Chow, I retweeted it, said he would not be coming back into the game, right? The football doctor. Well, he's back in the game. So people are like, God, what's going on? How could he be back on the field? Because everyone rushed to judgment and became a doctor on Sunday. Everyone was a doctor, myself included, by the way. I said, that's not a back injury. But I didn't necessarily know that he had a concussion. And I don't believe that all of the doctors that examined Tua are lying. Do I believe that an independent neurologist would fabricate a diagnosis? For what reason? Come on. Come on now. All right. Let's get to some other phone calls. And we check in with Ryan in Sacktown. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, Grant. How you doing?
I'm good, buddy. What's happening?
Nothing much. Hey, you know, something you said, and I do agree with the fact that a lot of people rushed to judgment last night. And some of the stuff I as well saw on social media was a little bit concerning. But we're talking about a thing or a couple of things that are not mutually exclusive. If the NFL protocol, and you and I have never been in the locker room, as far as I know, when a player is being tested. But if there is telltale signs that it is a concussion and they shouldn't even be tested from that point forward, how does that work? Why was Tua even tested?
They're always tested. Players are always tested for concussion symptoms. I mean, they're tested for those. Even, I mean, there are players that are tested for concussions in the middle of the game that you don't even know about. There are eyes in the box that are looking at every play and on replay. And if they see an exhibit of any player that appears to have had a blow to the head, they have to come out and they have to be examined. And a lot of times we don't even know about it.
So, yeah, you're right. But correct me if I'm wrong. You said the NFLPA, their contention is the test shouldn't even matter. He showed
signs. In that particular game, you're right. Not last night's game.
Right.
Sunday's game. Yes, you're right. 100% correct.
Okay. So does this change? Why was the protocol not followed? Is that?
Well, I don't know. I mean, that's a very good question. I do not know why the protocol was not followed in terms of why he was allowed back on the field. That is alarming. But assuming that the NFL made a mistake, assuming that the Dolphins should not have put him on the field because he exhibited the no-go protocol, that doesn't mean he had a concussion. And it doesn't mean that he should not have been on the field last night. One doesn't really have anything to do with the other. They're separate.
Grant, what did you think about last night? I forget who said that they were alarmed by it. That I almost had to turn the TV off too. And, you know, I sent you a message and I'm like, look, this is going to be a big deal. And this, it was really hard to see. And the other person that called and said, look, these guys are getting bigger, stronger, faster every single year. You know, like, is the NFL sustainable with the way these guys play?
Honestly, I don't like seeing anybody get hurt. I didn't turn it off. I wasn't turned off by it. I acknowledge that it's part of the game. It's no different than a race car driver going 220 miles around an oval and getting in an accident and losing their life. It comes with the territory. Every player that goes out onto the field understands that the risk that they are taking. Now, does that mean I didn't care? That he, no, but I've been watching football since 1962. I've seen a lot of bad stuff on a football field. I also understand that in that situation, the NFL takes every single precaution at that point. They'll take a half hour to get the player off the field, strapped, no head movement, onto a stretcher, all of that. And almost every single time, almost every single time, we hear that the individual has full motion with their extremities. They're out of the hospital. And in a lot of instances, they even accompany the team home on the airplane like Tua did last night. That's generally what happens. At almost every single instance, that is what happens. So I always keep that in mind that, okay, it looks bad right now, but it's not nearly as bad as it looks. And I was thinking that as I was watching Tua, I was saying to myself, boy, this looks bad. But you know what? It's probably not nearly as bad as it was. And fortunately, that was the case.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Fortunately. Sorry. You guys know my dog now. He always jumps around in the background.
Well, great.
But, you know, like the thing I think about is I look at what the NFL has done for player safety, right? And I'm sure you've heard this from a number of NFL players. They would rather get hit in the head than get hit in the knee, because that's going to be a career-ending injury, and they're thinking more long-term with their heads. But you're talking about some of the guys from the 60s and the 70s. Look at the lifespan, right? So where does the NFL go from here in terms of player safety? I mean, how much more can you change the game with the exception of equipment?
Well, first of all, there were a lot of players that played in the 60s and the 70s that had full lifespans and lived until their 80s. So, true. I mean, there are actually the vast majority of players that played in that era. And obviously there were some like had dementia and blah, blah, blah. What we're now learning about is CTE, because, you know, upon an individual's death, if they do donate their brain to science, or if there's a fatality like we had with Junior Seau, where he took his life and the family donates the brain, we are then learning a lot more about the effects of CTE, but we can't diagnose CTE in a person until that person is no right. longer alive. So, you know, we're learning more and more and more, but there were many football players that played in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s that have lived full lives and had no issues later in life. So, you know, you got to be careful. I mean, I know you are, but we all have to be careful that we just assume. I mean, look at boxers. You know, I mean, how many – I'll ask you this. How many well-known boxers do you know that you look at later in their life and go, oh, they have no symptoms? I mean, it seems like almost every time I hear an interview with a well-known famous boxer from the era that I just described, if they're still alive, you're like, oh, my gosh, what a shame. You know, what you, they can't talk. They have dementia. They're – you know, I mean, why don't we talk about that?
No, you're right, Grant, and it comes down to quality of life. You're exactly right. You can be alive, but you can't have a good quality of life depending on whatever, you know, injuries you're dealing with that were from your pro career. But I'm going to counter you with this. Boxers fight, what, maybe once every 4 months? These guys are doing this 17, 18 weeks of the year.
Yes, but boxers are in the ring a lot. Yes, they are in the ring most instances with headgear, but they're still getting pounded on the head, right?
Well, they are, but it's just like what the NFL has done when they, you know, like this offseason, they put in the mandate where you had to wear, I don't even know what it's called, but it goes over the helmet. It's supposed to limit head exposure or head trauma exposure. So it's kind of apples to oranges, regardless of the symptoms. But, you know, the two of them, I mean, you're doing something, and maybe you bring up a really good point about boxing and the issues we've seen, because, yeah, they are only doing it three times a month, four times, or, you know, once every 3 months, once every 4 months versus an NFL player. So very good point on your part.
Well, not only that, it's not only the NFL players. The entire sport has changed. I know I'm 63 years old. You know, when I played football in youth football, junior high school, the practices were predicated on collisions. All right. We used to have drills, the nutcracker drill. Right. You know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
And it was, you had to show how tough you were. And we got dazed all the time playing football. I got dazed all the freaking time because we tackled with our helmets and we used our head and we had violent collisions. Now, yeah, I wasn't getting hit by a 300-pound person running a 4.340 that bench pressed 500 pounds, as Antonio talked about. But the reality was a concussion is a concussion, right? And I never used to come out. I played defense. I never missed a play in my playing days. I didn't come off the field one time. If I was dazed, I would play the next play. And, you know, I mean, so – I mean, the sport has changed significantly, how they practice. You were just talking about the headgear they wear on the practice field now, the lack of contact that you're allowed to have, the fact that now on youth level, youth football, the drills that you and I or others used to do, they don't do those drills anymore. So the whole sport has changed and will continue to evolve based on science and based on medical technology.
I sure hope so, Grant. You're right. I mean, but let me ask you this. How many times did you hear the word concussion when you were playing football?
Zero. Not once.
Exactly. And so what I think about with some of these guys, because you're a fool to think Tua or anybody else in the NFL that has made it to that level has not had a concussion, if not many concussions. So I feel like the way that they test and the way they need to look at this is skewed, because these guys are warriors. They want to be on the field. This is their livelihood. But, you know, Grant, if you and I went skateboarding today and hit our heads on the pavement and we went to the doctor, we're not going to pass a concussion test. But these guys have been through it many times, whether the test is different in NCAA or, you know, whether it's different in the NFL. You know, they're,
but you're missing, you're missing one key point here.
Okay.
You can call the players warriors. You can call them whatever they want. The power has been taken away from them as it relates to NFL protocols with head injuries. If you suffer a head injury, an independent neurologist on the field and others give you a concussion test. And if you don't pass it, it doesn't matter if you want to go into the game or not. It doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter if you are the most coherent, alert person on the face of the planet at that point in time. They're not putting you back in the game. You are not going back into the game. It used to be where you made your determination on whether you're going back to the game. All the players that played in the era that you and I were just talking about, it was their decision. They decided if they were going back in the game. I used to talk about this with Jack Youngblood all the time. I've talked about this with Fred Biletnikoff. I've talked about this with other great Hall of Famers. All right, I talked about this with Harry Carson on my radio show one day. The players decided if they're going back on the field, not the doctors. And that's why everything has changed in the NFL.
Yeah, Grant, okay, you're right. And I want to say you're missing a point too as well, with all due respect. What I'm saying is if you have had numerous concussions and you have been through that testing, then you can find ways to pass those tests. And whether you want to be on the field or whether you do not, you know exactly.
What are you basing that on?
Well, Grant, think about the guys. I mean, can you?
Wait a minute, though. What are you basing that on? How do you know that somebody can pass the test if they have a concussion? I'm asking you just, I'm curious.
Sure.
Why would you say that?
Sure, Grant. I'm not saying a specific person in mind with you've had this many concussions, but I'm saying when you've been through that process so many times, you know what's coming. And if you have enough drive to get through it, unless it's something very serious like we saw with Tua last night, and thank God he was able to fly home. That shocked the hell out of me. But you know what's coming. So, like, Grant, okay, I'm going to give you an example.
Let me ask you a question. And I have my hands high in the air. I have driven in the past. I have driven in the past where I probably shouldn't have at some point in my life. So I'm not going to sit here and call the kettle
Fair
black.
Enough.
I've never been arrested for DUI. I've never been pulled over. I've never had to go through a sobriety test. But for those that have, are you telling me that if you've had DUIs and you've done sobriety tests and you've failed them in the past, that the next time you get one, because you've now done it, you know how to pass it? I mean, I don't understand your rationale by saying that you could pass a concussion test just because you've had previous concussions and gone through the protocol. I don't agree. I don't believe that's accurate, but I'm not a neurologist, but I don't believe that's true.
And either am I. And it's a good question, Grant. But what I'm saying is, you know what's coming. That's all I'm saying. So if you, and I'm not talking about people that are knocked out like Tua last night. I'm talking about people that are borderline on that line of concussion, where it's very hard to tell whether they have one or not. They know exactly what the test is going to be. Just like in your example, if somebody is driving inebriated and they've had numerous drunk driving offenses, they know the test they're going to get. So unless you are so far on one side of the pendulum, then, you know, that's a different story. But if you are actually kind of right there in that middle where it still could be a concussion, but you know what you're going to expect, then, you know, it's possible for you to pass and still get on the field. I mean, do you kind of see my logic here?
I don't see your logic in this sense, because your logic is based on speculation. Your logic's not based on medical data. Have you talked to a neurologist about how you test someone for a concussion? And can you have just you're again, correct me if I'm wrong here, but I don't believe that your conversation with me is based on speaking with a neurologist who tests for concussions and how that whole process goes by. I mean, you can't just be a little concussed. You either have a concussion or you don't have a concussion. Are there more severities of head injuries? Yes, but you're assuming that a borderline concussion is that, you didn't say borderline, but I'm trying to follow you here. You're saying that a borderline concussion may not be diagnosed by medical officials on the side of the field. And my question to you is, how do you know that?
I don't, Grant. I am just going off of experience. That's literally it. I am not a neurologist. I have not talked to a neurologist. But I'm telling you, you as an athlete as well, when I got my first concussion, the coach came up to me and said, and by no means was I in the NFL, the coach came up and literally told me the questions that I was going to be asked. And I knew those questions going forward, and I was concussed a few other times. The first one was not that bad. He's like, hey, because the trainer says, what do you do on 226 cross down block? You down block. But if I am severely concussed or clearly concussed, I'm not going to be able to answer those questions. So I'm talking about that very gray area. And I'm not saying NFL coaches do that, NFL trainers, independent neurologists do that. I'm just saying these guys get into so many collisions and these guys have so many head injuries that they are in this protocol. Protocol is the wrong word. They go through the testing so much, so you know what's coming. So even if you are not severely concussed, the bottom line is if your bell is rung and you can still pass the test, you shouldn't be on the field. Like, honestly, what should happen is the guys upstairs should be able to say, you know what, that hit was enough. And they're supposed to. We talked about this. Right. That hit was enough. And he is not going back in the game, regardless of anything.
Okay, so let's just assume that he should not have gone back into the game on Sunday. All right, let's just, for sake of conversation, agree that him going back and playing the second half on Sunday was a mistake. All right? Okay, that had nothing to do with him playing last night. Had nothing to do playing with him last night because he was evaluated numerous times and he did not sustain a head injury, according to the top medical professionals that organization and the NFL have. So they're two separate issues. Him getting hurt last night then would have had nothing to do with Sunday.
Well, okay, and I understand your point, Grant. I think it's a good point, but we all saw him hit his head as hard as he did, whether it was a back injury, whether it was a neck injury, whether you had a concussion or not. When he took that hit last night on a short week, which you've already touched on, that even if you have just a hitch of a head injury, that is going to make it worse when you take a harder hit, even if it wasn't a concussion. So I do think they have something to do with each other.
I don't think they have anything to do with each other. I think that one is completely separate than the other. Had he not played in the second half of the game on Sunday, and after the game, they came out and said, hey, he's fine. He's not under concussion protocol. He's been evaluated by the neurologist, team neurologist, an independent neurologist, doctors, trainers. He was also looked upon and tested on Monday. He did not exhibit any symptoms, both medically and visually, throughout the week. And he has been cleared to play by the entire team staff, by all the doctors, and he's playing on Thursday, and the same thing happened, one has nothing to do with the other. I'm sorry, I completely disagree. All right, I think we're making too much out of this. He should not have been on the field Sunday. Based on the protocol of the NFL, his symptoms were a no-go. The visual symptoms of what happened on Sunday were no-go. He should not have gone back onto the field against Buffalo, but that had nothing to do with him playing last night, nothing.
Okay, if it's a back injury, Grant, are you telling me that you can't, or it's easier to protect your head if you're going to take a hard hit like he took.
Hey, listen, go walk through a practice facility on any day in the NFL. Guys are in whirlpools, hot tubs. Guys are on training tables.
Right.
It's like a hospital ward, okay? Do you know how many guys last night were on the field that probably shouldn't have been on the field after playing in the 100-degree heat on Sunday, 72 hours later? You know, you could probably pick 10 guys.
Half of them.
I don't know about half. But there were a number of players last night that were on the field that probably should not have been on the field. Oh, and by the way, that's every Sunday in every locker room in every city in America. So we got to be careful about this. Guys play football when they probably shouldn't be playing, and it's been going on ever since the league started in 1925, and that's never going to change. Guys line up and play on Sundays, even when they know full well that they shouldn't, based on an ankle, a knee, based on a shoulder, based on a back, based on this. I mean, Jack Youngblood played in the Super Bowl with a broken leg. I mean, we can go on and on. Guys play in the NFL hurt. That's part of the game. It's an accepted risk that players take. Head injuries are different for obvious reasons. But, I mean, you got to be careful about how you say that.
Yeah, no, you're right, Grant. The reason I said half of them, and I'm glad you clarified, not just the Heat. I was talking about guys that probably have injuries that are minor on the injury list that may be a little bit more serious than it actually is, but they tough it out. They take the Tordone. They take the I forget the name of the other shot. You're spot on. So that's why I said half, because these guys, and we're only in what? We're going into week four, right? So that's a long and violent season.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. It is a long and violent season. Here's where I want to go with this in a nutshell, okay? And this is not directed at you or anybody else.
Yeah.
This is a general statement that I came to, and again, it's my opinion. After watching all of the reaction on social media from blue check marks, okay, from a lot of different people that automatically made themselves an expert on their situation and put themselves as neurologists last night on social media, I have a problem with that. That's the problem I have. I have a problem with someone sitting on their couch, all right, coming to concrete, you know, observations based on what they think happened as opposed to what did happen. And that's my biggest issue.
And I respect that, Grant. I mean, there's a difference when you are a reporter and you got a blue check next to you and you're making comments like that versus just a common fan. And none of us are neurologists, or maybe there is a neurologist that commented on it, but it was very, very scary to see Tua's hands that way. And, you know, I've done some research on that. But anyways, we don't need to get all into that. The one question I ask before you give me my picks, you can give me a nutshell answer, is was it common when you were with the Kings, if a player was concussed, that they could fly, especially at that state that Tua was in, apparently, allegedly, was it common for them to be able to fly home?
Well, first of all, concussions are extremely rare in the NBA. So I don't really recall an incident where we were on the road and would have a flight and a player with a concussion would get on the plane. I don't even recall players getting concussions. The only time a player would get concussed in the NBA are, well, obviously an elbow to the head, right?
Right.
An elbow to the head where that could happen. I mean, we saw, you know, elbows into the jaw area. And so there were concussions, but I'm just saying they weren't that prevalent, but you know, they occurred. Do I recall a player? Yeah, actually, you know what? Yes, a player would go on the plane after that if they had a concussion. Yes, absolutely. And the reason for that is you wanted to have them with a medical person and or a trainer, whatever the case may be, supervising them. And throughout the night as well at the next hotel we were going to. So, yes, that did happen a couple of times now that I recollect. Yes, it did.
Okay. I appreciate that, Grant. Yeah, the only thing I would add to the elbow, and I think that is probably the most prevalent, would be when a player gets their legs taken out from underneath them and they're not able to gather themselves, because I've seen that numerous times where, you know, they hit their neck on the floor, hit their head on the floor, so... Okay, I've taken it up enough time, and I appreciate the banner, by the way. It's a good conversation.
Excellent.
quite frankly, I wish we weren't having the conversation. Let's be honest about that. But I am going Green Bay over New England. I am going the Rams over San Francisco. I am going the Chiefs over Tampa Bay. And also give me Buffalo over Baltimore. And those are all against the spreads.
Oh, love it. Okay, sounds good. Hey, that was great dialogue today, and I'm looking forward to Monday.
Sounds good, bud. Thank you so much, Grant. Looking forward to Monday, too. YouTube Live, a couple other platforms.
Yep.
Everybody be there. And, oh, by the way, Grant, before I hang up, I've gotten a few messages from a couple of people that aren't listening to the show live. They're downloading it, which is really cool. Yep. But I just wanted to give them a shout out, say hi. They've been, you know, shooting me messages. So I recognize Great. You. Thank you for the kind comments. And Grant, I will talk to you Monday.
Look forward to it, buddy. Take
care. All right, bud.
All right. Have a great weekend.
You too.
All right, let's get to some other phone calls. And we say hello to Waggus. We'll bring him on as soon as I get him on stage. And he's on stage right now. Hey, Waggus, how are you today?
Good, good, Grant. How you doing?
I'm good, buddy. What's happening?
Well, I first of all, I want to say that, you know, this is kind of blown out of proportion. I don't think any coach in the NFL would ever try to put a player out there if he truly, you know, thought that something was wrong with his head. It's number one.
Not in this day and age. No. You know, it used to be like that, but not anymore. It used to be where coaches didn't give a damn, but because they didn't have the science. But now you're 100% correct. I don't think Mike McDaniel would have put two on the field if he felt he had anything wrong with his head. I do agree with you there.
Also, during the halftime, Ryan Fitzpatrick was very close with Tua, right? Because they played on the same team. He said that he spoke to Tua all week, and he seemed fine. So, you know, that's kind of corroboration, I guess, if you want to say it. And then Richard Sherman, unfortunately, makes a comment, which I thought that was kind of careless. Well, you know, this is a big game, so maybe they're like, big game, you know, maybe we need this guy, you know, so wink, wink. I think that's what...
You know, I don't even know how Richard Sherman's on the air, to be honest with you, but that's just, you know, my opinion. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. No, I get it. So I think the NFL will still be around. I think technology will get better. And I think that, you know, there was a protocol and that was followed. And because here's the thing. I mean, obviously, you know, if the doctors don't clear him, the coach can't do anything anyway. So yeah. And,
that's correct.
And I do think he'll be back. And I thought he looked pretty good for what he was playing. And, you know, I mean, let me ask you this. If you would have stayed in the game, would you have given them a chance to win it last night?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, no. So I kind of thought this was going to be like a coming out party for him on national stage. They were going to go 4-0, but obviously he got hurt. But we'll see how he comes back. So I wanted to give you my picks as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so I've got – so I'm going to go ahead and take Houston, you know, to – I think they're +6, right? So I think they'll cover that. And then I'm going to have Green Bay covering at home. Green Bay's a favorite. Okay. They're going to cover at home. And then I will have Tennessee, who's +3.5. I not only have them going into Indianapolis, but I think they'll definitely – I think they're going to pull out that game because Jonathan Taylor didn't even practice, I believe, and he's already got a toe injury. So I think they're down from that point of view. And then lastly, I don't know if Jackson will win, but they're 6.5, you know. They're the underdogs by 6.5. I think they can cover that. I think it'll be a close game in Philly.
Okie dokie. I appreciate your picks. I hope you have a great weekend.
You too. Thank you.
All right, buddy. Take care. All right.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Good stuff from Waggus. And if you want to come on the show, it's easy to do. You hit your hand icon and I'll put you right up on stage with me. Connor, we'll get to you. How are you on this Friday, Connor?
Doing great. How are you, Grant?
I'm good, Connor. Thanks, buddy.
That was a great discussion between you and Ryan. I had a couple
Thank
points
you.
On Tua. I agree with you with the social media was the huge overreaction last night. I saw someone say on Twitter that he thought that Tua would be paralyzed for the rest of his life. Just a joke.
Stupid. It's ridiculous.
I went into the Kings play their first preseason game on Monday, so I wanted to talk a little Kings basketball.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I agree with you completely that McNair doesn't deserve any extension. He hasn't done
not yet.
Hasn't won any games. I mean, you'd say good draft, but that means nothing when you're not winning any games.
Correct. I agree with you. I mean, there's no reason for it.
Yeah, I had a question for you about the Kings. You said that Fox is obviously the biggest factor this season, but other than him, who do you think needs to, like, step up the most? Like, you know what you're going to get from Sabonis. You know what you're going to get from Barnes. Who do you think has to take, like, a big leap for the Kings to be successful?
That's a fabulous question. There are so many new pieces to this team. Like, for instance, at the two guard. Who's going to be the starting two guard on the team this year? You know, their outside shooting last year after they traded Buddy Hield was dismal. They absolutely have to improve that aspect of the game. That's why they made the trade to get Kevin Huerter. They went out and got Malik Monk. That's a fabulous question. I expect Keegan Murray to have a really good rookie season, but I don't know what to truly expect. Now he's going up against the big boys, you know, every single day. Rashawn Holmes appears to be healthy. That's a really good question, Ryan. I mean, Connor, I'm just going to have to wait and see a couple of these preseason games and see what Mike Brown's rotation may look like. I don't even know who's going to be starting yet. I think that's still, you know, up in the air. Who's going to be starting at shooting guard? Who's going to, you know, how's he going to use Davion Mitchell? How's he going to play? How many minutes is he going to play? Is he going to use three guards or is he going to use four guards? Well, I would think he's got to use four guards based on Monk and Huerter and Mitchell and Fox. So I just want to see how he's going to divvy up the minutes. That's a really good question. Right now, I don't have the answer to that.
Yeah, if I would have to answer it today, I'd probably say Kevin Huerter because it sounds like the Kings are raving about him and he seems like really tall for a guard. He can defend, he can shoot, he can basically do it all. So maybe he can start at the two or three, maybe that'll work.
Yep. Yeah, he was a good player with Atlanta. You know, he's the type of player that doesn't do anything great but does everything well. He's really a lot like Harrison Barnes in that way. I mean, you look at Harrison, you go, well, gee, he doesn't do this great, he doesn't do this great, but he does everything well. So we'll see. You know, I think it's definitely an upgrade. I think Kevin Huerter was an upgrade. I think that was a good trade.
Yeah, me too. And then one more thing. I just saw today that Paul George came out and said that the Kings could be a big problem in the West this year. I'm assuming you don't agree with that, but pretty interesting.
It's not a matter of whether I agree with her or not. I don't pay attention to talk. About all this stuff. I don't pay attention to media day. I don't pay attention to any of that. You know, it's this I've learned as I went through is talk is very cheap. Doesn't really matter what people say about you. Doesn't matter what, and none of that stuff matters. All right. That's why you have the standings. Okay. That's why you have the standings. That power rankings don't mean anything to me. All that, the standings is the only thing that matters to me. And here's what I do know. 16 years in a row, the Kings and the standings have never had a 41 next to their name in the first number. Okay. That's what I know. That's the only thing that matters to me. None of this other talk matters to me.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, with the Kings, it's time to put up or shut up at this point. I mean,
if De'Aaron Fox is going to shoot 72 or 73% from the line and he's going to shoot 30% from three and, you know, he's going to be on and off the floor with injuries, then it's going to be the same old story to me. If De'Aaron Fox continues to shoot that poorly from beyond the three-point line, then that diminishes his ability to use his greatest attribute, which is his speed, to get to the basket because it negates the pick and roll. It negates his ability to beat the man off the dribble, because they're going to be playing off him and giving him the three-point shot. So to me, that's where it starts for the Sacramento Kings.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't made the playoffs since I was 3 years old, so I'm still waiting to watch my first postseason series. So
yeah,
hopefully
good luck,
it happens,
man.
Soon.
Yep, I hear you. All right, thanks, Connor. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Take care. Bye. All right, you still have time to get your picks in if you haven't already done so. I am looking forward to Monday. It's going to be a lot of fun. So put that on your calendar. 3 o'clock Pacific coming up on Monday. All right. We got some nice college football games tomorrow. The full slate of NFL on Sunday. When we talk on Monday, well, we'll be talking about a Raiders team that's 0-4. Are they going to get off the snide and beat the Denver Broncos coming up on Sunday? Tight game, divisional game. Very good defense for Denver, but I don't think they can score enough. The Raiders need to figure out a way to win a game. All right, let's get to Bella right here on Listen App. Hey, Bella, how are you today?
Hi, I'm good. How are you? Happy Friday.
I'm good. Same to you, Bella. Happy Friday.
I have a quick question. I know I'm obsessed with all your shows here. So are you going to have this Listen App on Monday? I think
yes,
you are, right?
Every day.
Are you going to get...
Yep.
Oh, okay. Awesome.
It's 4 o'clock. Okay. 4 o'clock Pacific. Yep.
Oh, and NBA concussions, they're averaging 2 per 100 players. Someone on your
there
show
you
mentioned
go.
Doing homework. There you go. 2 per 100.
You know what? I appreciate that. You should be my producer. I like that. That's good to know. So I wonder, hey, do you know what it is in hockey?
Probably 9 for 10. I don't know. I mean,
it's a, yeah, I'm just curious what it is in hockey.
Brought it up in basketball because I thought, what, very rare, very rare. I think, yeah. So I looked it up and they had like between 2017, 2018, and then the recent season. So 2 per 100 is very, very low, right?
Yep, absolutely. So, yep, that's why I said I didn't see a lot of concussions in the NBA. So very well said. Good research there, Bella. I appreciate it.
Good old Google. Well, have a great weekend.
Yep.
And
you too.
I can't wait till Monday.
Yep. Thank you, Bella.
Okay.
Appreciate
Bye-bye.
It. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Grant. Bye,
Take
everyone.
Care. And again, I believe in hockey. It would be interesting. I should Google that. We'll get the numbers there. But yeah, so the new show starting on Monday. I'm very excited about the format. I really think this is going to be great. It's going to be something that we're going to grow the brand and everything else. I've really been looking forward to this. I had to wait until the timing was right. The timing is right now. And so the new show on YouTube Live, again, it's my same channel. If you don't like that with Grant Napier, so if you go to watch my, and here's the other deal. The show will be streaming live on Twitter. It will be streaming live on Facebook and of course on YouTube. So if you follow me on Twitter, it will be shown live. If you follow me on Facebook, it will be shown live. On YouTube, it's going to be live. So if you have not yet subscribed, subscribe to my YouTube channel or, you know, at Grant Napier Show on Twitter or whatever the case is on Facebook, and you'll be able to watch the shows live. So that's Monday, the big show, 3 o'clock Pacific. Looking forward to it. Hope you have a fabulous weekend. And we'll talk to you on Monday right here on Listen App, 1 hour after YouTube Live. So 3 o'clock Pacific, YouTube Live, 4 o'clock Pacific, right here on Listen App. So long, everybody.